I am so glad to be with you today on Campus Ministry Sunday. Thank you. Thank you so much for seeing all the students here that are involved in worship. I love that. I love it when my two worlds collide. I see students out in the audience in the pews that I also see in my classroom, students that are attending campus ministry events, leading worship today with their heart, and I appreciate that. Many of you know that I teach at UMD, and I have been there for 18 years. 18 years. So this job, this calling, is one that I adore. And I also want to acknowledge this morning that while I love the vivacious, active, busy, crazy college student audience, I know that that's not true for all of you. And I know that some people look at college students and are a little scared. And some of you think they're obnoxious, and they are. Disrespectful, and they are. But they also are wonderful. So today the sermon title is, What You Looking At? What You Looking At? And I hope to shine just a little bit of a light on what I think God sees when God looks at our college students. Join me in prayer. God, I give you thanks. I give you thanks for this Copper Top Church, the church that I have found home for the last 10 years. I thank you for the way that they include and love all people, college students, little people, queer people, gray-haired people. Thank you for them. And I pray today for, while I'm standing up here, that you calm my heart and that the words that I say would be yours. It is your name we pray. Amen. Well, here we sit, right dab smack in the middle of Lent. Well, Lent, we have 3 weeks under our belt and 3 weeks still to go before Easter. Did any of you give up anything for Lent? When I grew up, that was my tradition, that we gave up something or we acquired something. And I gave up something. I gave up pop. Pop, it might seem crazy, but I love pop, and I drink pop probably once or twice a day. And so to give it up for me has been a challenge, and it's something I think about often. And so what I promised, or what I tried to promise, is every time I think about having a pop, instead of thinking about having a pop, instead of drinking it, I will pray. But I have a specific prayer. I was going to pray, and I am praying, for those people that I have a problem with, right? Those people that rub me the wrong way on any given day. And I will pray for those people that have a problem with me, because believe it or not everybody loves me. I am a professor, and I do give out Fs from time to time. So I'm praying for people that I'm kind of annoyed with and who are annoyed with me. Well, I've been doing a lot of praying because I really want my pop. I also have cheated. I want to admit that I've cheated 3 times. In 3 weeks, I had 2 full cans of pop, and 1 I had only a sip. And so I'm thinking, I don't know, that doesn't count so much. Right, God? It's kind of weird to pray every day for people that don't really like you or for people that you don't really like. It's actually a really good exercise in forgiveness and in letting go. And that's what Lent is all about, forgiveness, letting go, dying to the things that we want to hold on to. In Lent, we are walking the road towards resurrection, the road towards new life, to beginning again. But before we go into new life and the story of Christ's resurrection, we have work to do. We can't get to new life until we have death. What do you need to die from? What do you need to die to? What do you need to let go of? Maybe you haven't even begun your Lenten journey, and that's okay. It's not too late. It's never too late to make change that needs to happen. But it's an important process to do. To practice Lent is to practice letting go of what no longer serves us well. We are Easter people. We are people who tend to look towards the resurrected Christ. We tend to look towards the good news. But Easter, resurrection, and good news doesn't happen without dying first. Dying to bad habits, dying to traditions or values that are not serving us well anymore. I sit with students every day, and those students sometimes tell me their hurts. They tell me where and when they are broken. As a campus minister, I am so privileged to hear their stories and to carry them in my heart. And I intercede on their behalf daily, sometimes hourly, when I know they're not able to do so. Weeks ago, I sat with a young guy who admitted to me that he was addicted. He was addicted to a powerful drug. He had gone to class, he does his work, he prays, he's a nice guy, he's responsible, and yet secretly, he gets high. Most people don't know. Not every once in a while, but daily. It's a fix that his body craves. He often spends much brain time thinking, when and where is he going to get that next fix? He knows what it's like to face a decision. Does he buy healthy, good food that he knows that will take care of him, or does he buy what his body craves? I'm holding his story in my heart today, and I ask you to do the same. When our denomination voted to continue to uphold the doctrine that homosexuality is incompatible with Christian teaching, I was asked, but aren't I a Christian? I have gone to church my whole life. Why am I not good enough? Why do people hate me when they don't even know me? I was asked recently as the United Campus Minister if I would speak at an event called Gaypril. Gaypril is the whole month of April. At UMD, there'll be workshops and brown bag talks and fun outings, and the whole culmination comes together with a gay prom. Very fun. This to celebrate the diversity of LGBTQI people at UMD. When I asked, absolutely, I'd be willing to do that. What topic should I speak to? I was kind of surprised at the answer. They said, really? I don't need you to speak to anything. What we would love is for you to just be present, to be available in a room. And people, students, would know that you're there. Students who are Christian, who are seeking, who are feeling quite low and condemned. I was asked if I would be able to provide a different perspective on the Bible and being gay, if I would be able to offer a biblical interpretation of inclusion and love rather than condemnation. And I know that out of the 13 different campus ministers at UMD, only I and the Lutheran campus minister would be able to offer that presence, to be present, and to show people that they are loved unconditionally by the God that we serve. Earlier in the fall, I was met by a person that, while passing down the hall, was looking at me and said, aren't you the campus minister? Well, yeah, that's me. I really need to talk to you. Can I talk to you? Sure, I have some time now if you want to come to my office. Yeah, I need to. Well, it didn't take her very long that she told me a story that I've heard so many times. Her story sounds something like this. While I was getting to know this guy, we were having a good time. I went to his dorm. We were drinking, we were flirting and playing around, and one thing came to another thing, and our flirting became sexual. And then I became uncomfortable, and I said no, and I told him I thought I needed to leave, and he didn't listen. He became quite forceful. I was raped that night. And now I feel so dirty. I feel so bad. And now I'm scared all the time. I'm looking behind my back. I feel ashamed. I can't sleep. Why did I go to his dorm room? I can't tell anybody because I went. I was participant until I wasn't. how could this happen to me? And that story I've heard again and again and again. I told her that she was loved unconditionally by God, and that God sees her, and God sees her heart. And I told her, and so many others, that maybe her old image of God didn't serve her well anymore. And as the college student that she is, who is growing and changing, maybe her image of God needed to grow and change with her. I gave her the ability to see God in new ways, gave her that permission that she didn't really need, but kind of needed. I also explained that I don't see God as a puppeteer up in heaven controlling who's doing what and what happens to what happens. This person is going to experience rape today. No, this person gets their house set on fire. This person's going to have a hurricane. And yeah, that person over there, they're going to have a death in their family that they didn't expect. That's not the kind of God that I see at all. I see a loving and caring God, one that walks with me and talks with me. My God is my friend. My God is vulnerable. My God aches when I ache. My God aches with you. I also said that I didn't imagine that God could pick me up miraculously and save me from a situation any differently than another friend could. But God has the ability to do something that no other friend can. And that is, God is with me, walking and talking everywhere, all day, to add me that comfort. Paul urged the gathered community in Corinthians to expand their vision of God as well, to see that everything can become new. This kind of seeing moves beyond what our eyes can plainly see. Humanity has always tended to focus on what is broken, what is limited, what is imperfect, both in ourselves and the world. What if on our way to building a new and better world, all the limits that we put on people and things were suddenly dismantled? What if we started to see the world through the eyes of Christ? What if we started to see each other through what Christ sees? What if we started to see college students and young students and children and gray-haired people through the eyes of what God sees? Not someone broken, but whole and beautiful, created in God's image. When others see loud parties and careless drinking, see young adults out there for their first time in their life, they need forgiveness and someone to hold their hand while they are learning. When others see the drama that college students can bring and college students being self-absorbed, Christ sees young people who are growing into who they will be, still lots to learn, and they're looking to you to lead. When others see laziness, Christ sees a student who will be the leader of tomorrow. When people see irresponsibility, Christ sees a student so overwhelmed by the responsibility and pressure of school and job that they just shut down. When it's easy to see a lack of commitment on young people and a lack of follow-through, Christ sees people who are just figuring out what their passions are and what is their place in the world. So what you're looking at? You are looking at the children of a living God. Look around and see through new eyes today. Practice Lent and let go of the thoughts and the judgments that are not serving us well. See a glimpse of God's vision. Not just college students, but all those that we encounter. Cynthia spoke a couple weeks ago of looking at everyone, not as stranger, but as brother or sister. If we take the time to work beyond our initial judgment and allow ourselves to wonder about people, who are they? What is their story? What are they doing today? How did their morning start? What happened yesterday? If we wonder about them and imagine beyond what our eyes can see, I think then we will learn to see as Christ sees. And Christ sees the heart. Amen. Your turn.
For some of us, our college years were a really long time ago. And I don't know about you, but I remember being in my early 20s. I was attending college in that time frame. Not everybody is around that time, but boy, I sure remember how challenging those years were. Do you? And how trying to figure out who we are and how we move forward as people of faith in the world, I found that to be really challenging. And so I'm really grateful that we have this presence on campus that helps young people do that. We're going to hear from one of those young people this morning. Jenny is on our staff working with children and also is a participant in campus ministry. We're going to hear a little bit from Jenny's perspective about what that's been like.
Thanks. So I might reiterate what people have already said about me, but that's okay. Good morning, everyone. Happy Sunday. I'm really excited to be in church and sitting and listening today. I am Jenny. You may recognize me as one of the children and family ministry team members here at the Copper Top. Hey, kids, I see some of you out there. But I'm also a student at UMD. I have one more semester left after this current semester, and then I will have a Bachelor's of Science in Environmental Science with a minor in Geology. I like rocks and the earth, so. Thank you. I'm also the current president of United Campus Ministry, which is why I'm standing here today. I'm so excited and grateful to the Copper Top to have a time to share a little bit about United Campus Ministry, about its impact on me. Just what we do. I have to tell you, as you've heard a little bit, college life is hectic. For a lot of us, this is our first time out in the world and doing it either somewhat on our own or completely on our own. We have these class schedules that change about every quarter of a year, and jobs that we have to schedule around that changing schedule, and then make sure that we remember to have time for friends and family, to eat, to sleep, and to take care of ourselves in the midst of this scramble. Nothing seems stable or routine, hardly ever. And on top of that, there's a constant pressure from this big question hanging over our heads: what are you going to do with your life? Because that's why we're in college, right? We're setting ourselves up for a fulfilling future. And yes, that's the case for me, and I'm happy to be there. And I hope it's the same for my peers. But I do often get lost in what comes with college. For example, I will focus on school so much that I don't make time for friends or for myself. Or I get anxious about if what I'm doing is actually the right thing for me and if I will be happy with my career down the road. I forget to just be, to let everything go just for a moment and to be who I am in that moment. I think maybe you guys can relate to that feeling too. And for me personally, it would be really easy to never take that moment to just be without an external force either reminding me to take that moment for myself or actually providing that moment. United Campus Ministry has been this force for me. It's about an hour of time set aside each week to meet with my peers and our campus minister and to take a second to breathe, share what is present in our minds, and to connect with God. It takes us out of the scramble of things and help us refocus on what truly matters. What matters is that God is by our side every step of the way. When nothing seems stable, God's hand is reaching out to us, providing support. When we are constantly worrying about the future that we do not live in the present, God says in that moment, I have plans for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. If not for United Campus Ministry, I think I would forever be lost in the scramble of college. I am grateful for this group that has been my anchor and rock through rough waters. I pray that we all are reminded to find times to just be in the moment and to never forget that God has got us, no matter what. Thank you.
Thank you, Jenny, and to all of our college students who have participated today. Your presence here enriches our lives, and we are really grateful.